got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
Good evening. You're listening to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here with Scott Magerflesh, Micah Kilpatrick behind the glass, and I'm Nick Kenny. We've got some coverage today.
Hey, Micah, who's this guy?
Do you know who?
The guy? Well, the guy next to me. I haven't seen this guy in forever. I don't know.
I haven't seen him forever.
I'm like trying to figure out who is it. Darth something?
Darth Aspinkus.
That's I deserve that for being absent the last week. And we didn't have a show the week before.
I was absent the week before. The week before was my fault.
So. Well,
we don't have a Darthus whatever mine would be. Darthus soccer, which would be an insult to me.
Soccer?
I hate soccer.
Well, Micah, your brain works in such fascinating ways. I mean, I don't like tuna salad, but that's not what my mind goes to quickly when I want to call somebody and offend them as Darth tuna salad.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that is.
I mean, that could be really offensive. Like, I think of you as tuna salad. Which you could say something that tastes gross but is also kind of bland.
But
most people.
Here's the thing, though. If someone really liked tuna salad, which I don't, but if they did, they would actually have a positive view of you at that moment.
They would. Which would be an insult to them.
Perhaps this is the best way to get ahead in life, but I just try to be kind. As I think everyone, Micah, maybe not Micah. Micah likes to poke bears and buttons.
I try to be kind.
I think that,
he does. Micah's fantastic.
They always say, you can always attract more flies with honey than you can vinegar. Not that I'm trying to get flies. But I think that there's an element of, in life, if you're good to people, I think there's a reason for that. Sometimes it doesn't go well, and sometimes you get, people take advantage of your goodness and your kindness, but for the most part, I wouldn't change it. So I think we're good.
Well, you really want to know how to attract flies?
Yeah, probably by what we're going to talk about in the Upside Down. Huh?
It could be. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say poo, but something in the Upside Down would work.
Yeah.
Let's do Stranger Things instead of flies and poo.
Well, they came out a month ago, but it seems like longer. I mean, those two episodes were 4 hours worth of – we're talking Stranger Things by the Duffer Brothers. That was Denver Comic Con weekend, Fan Expo, actually. And I said, I had a spiral thought, but I forgot we're on air, so I'm going to save that for the break.
Yeah.
I remember that Saturday night, I got home. I go, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I just have to watch it. So glad I did because it was a busy weekend. I guess no spoilers at this point because it's been a month. There could be spoilers coming up. But I will say that there is a level above ugly crying, and that was me during that finale episode as far as sobbing and screaming at the television during a certain moment of that final episode.
You don't have to say certain. I mean, I think you're right. It's been almost a month out, 3 weeks, whatever it is. I think we're fair that we don't have to even play the spoiler alert. It's literally, this is out there, and if you haven't seen it,
your fault.
It is your fault.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Prioritize.
So that moment that you were ugly crying is...
When Max was...
Dead.
Yeah,
they killed her.
When her arm broke or her leg broke, I was screaming, just screaming.
And I did not. I didn't see it coming either. How many people were like, "Oh, she's goner. She's a goner." I thought for sure she was going to go down and be saved.
I did too.
I know.
We got that tease a couple episodes earlier that we think, "Oh no, it's going to." And then they saved her and they got her back. It's like, whew, okay, well, that was a close call. And then, wait, what? She's dead?
That writing was just brilliant. Oh. I think it's some of the best television that's ever come across any platform this latest season. The acting was so phenomenal by many of those stars. And even, I mean, Lucas's acting during that scene, during the fight sequence, during the hysterics in his voice with Max was just remarkable. I mean, I'm getting chills now, and it's been a month. What a series. I can't wait. You know, just that reveal at the end of Henry being Vecna. And I mean, I had my spidey senses tingling. I think we all kind of did. That was something was up. You know, Al can't be that bad of a person, but they explained it so well. It wasn't a Demogorgon that got loose. It was Henry getting redemption on Dr. Jenner. And for him to be Vecna asks so many questions of, oh my gosh, so does he control the Upside Down? Did he create the Upside Down? Did he create the Mind Flayer? There is so many answers that are left unsaid, but holy cow, what a series. I mean, incredible.
And I know that, you know, silence on the air is never a good thing, so we don't really want to do that, but we should take like a temporary moment of silence, you know.
For Eddie?
For Eddie Mason. I mean, come on, seriously?
You know, this goes to the fans. There is a lot of hate on Twitter for them killing Eddie. And you look at the town. If Eddie would have lived, he would have gone back to a town because they still could not have proved he wasn't the murderer.
Right.
So you want Eddie to live? He was a very popular character. That was the best rock and roll concert you ever could have imagined. So much fun and creativity there. And he actually played that. He's a guitar player, so he learned that song.
He learned to play that song.
And I understand fans are upset. He was a great character, but there's no way he could have gone back to Hawkins and be welcomed with open arms. And then there are people saying, well, they should have killed off more people. Why? I mean, I know it tugs at our emotions, but a death in a show or movie has to move the storyline forward.
Agreed.
Dustin hasn't had much loss. Dustin lost one of his very best friends, and the thing I wish they would have done was for Harrington and Nancy and Robin to come back just to see Dustin grieving. I think that would have been a powerful and a good nod to Eddie. But, you know, for them to say, well, somebody else should have died. Why?
Yeah.
Why? It needs to make sense. The senseless murder, senseless death for a character is a waste of a good story. That's why Wash's death in Firefly was powerful. Why did he have to die? It didn't move the story forward. They just went from Wash dying to barely grieving him to being in a fight for their lives. He could have died a little later on, and it would have been the same as him just getting that spear through him. I think they wrapped it up perfectly. I also think, well, Max did die, and I think she's might be Vecna 2.0 in the next
It's season. Really weird to...
Because the chimes chimed. Remember, they were waiting for that fourth chime, and it did happen. So, but here, I texted you
so
guys.
So she's dead. She's more like her body's alive, but she's more like brain dead.
Possibly. That's
possibly
the part we don't
brain
know.
Dead.
We don't know what.
Nobody really knows. Yeah. Elle went back into her mind and can't find any sign of her. So I'm wondering, I'm thinking maybe she's in the Upside Down.
I think you're right.
I almost texted you guys because I had a theory, and it was before the episode even aired. I think I was driving back from Denver. I go, okay, what could they do? Like, I wonder if Elle's going to have some kind of superpowers to bring back somebody from the dead. And sure enough, that happened. And Scott, it took you a week or so to watch, I think, finish the series. Maybe not that long.
I watched it on Monday.
It was,
it wasn't that long.
It felt like an eternity, you know? And she did that, and I'm not upset by it. I thought that was just a powerful sequence, but there's so many questions, and I love that Vecna was Henry. I love this creation of the Upside Down, what it means to have these portals and what he's trying to accomplish and why he hates people so much. It's fascinating. Here I'm sitting like, well, I kind of wish the next season would focus on a bigger baddie, but Vecna is ridiculously horrifying.
Yeah, and he's down but not out. We saw that. We know that he's not gone, and you know that he understands that he's got formidable opponents in Elle and the rest of the kids now, and there's an element where maybe he spends season 5 literally trying to sway Max.
Well, and Will, because Will still got the team.
And Will still knows he's around. And I think we've got other... You know, there's other challenges that Will is going to have to work through in season 5. And I hope they actually bring that to some sort of closure for Will, because I feel like that he's been the character, especially in this season, that has been the third wheel. And we've seen that and in even relationships. Last
season. Well, he's been. I've always felt sorry for Will because Will just he never had someone to love him. It was always just him, his brother, and
right,
now it's just kind of him. And
but they've really fleshed that out this year to where you're understanding what it was. I know that they did some, you know, they kind of alluded to it beforehand, and you always wondered about Will, but they made it blatantly obvious that he loves Mike,
mm-hmm.
and I have no problem with that storyline. I just want to be able to. I want to have some sense of comfort or happiness for Will at some point in time that he's not going to spend the rest of his life in this, you know, this situation where he's not able to tell Mike what's going on. And
I think Mike already knows.
I don't know.
He's a teenage boy in love with a girl.
I think Mike has an inkling.
No, he doesn't. When Will's sitting there sobbing in the car, and Mike's just like, "Oh, this is a cool picture. Thank you for this."
Well, it was a
and Jonathan
piece.
Got that, yeah. and that was yeah. Jonathan was kind of a weak link this season. Yeah. I really wanted Nancy and Harrington to wind up together. Not that I'm rooting against Jonathan,
but they've got
a connection. They've got a spark. And Jonathan this year was just kind of dull. I loved Argyle. He was a good comic relief for the ridiculousness that was. Yeah.
Did anybody call the number on the van? I've been told it's fantastic. I haven't called it yet.
Oh, gosh. We're going to have to do that. Maybe we could do that on air in the next segment.
Ooh, is that possible?
Maybe.
See what we get.
That'd I'd have to cool. find the number on the van.
We will find you the number during the break, Micah.
Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310. We'll be back with more Stranger Things talk after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here in the Allo Communications Studios and brought to you by Right Coast Pizza. We have, we're talking Stranger Things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible show, incredible series. For those fans who might have Spotify out there, one, I encourage you, we're not advertised or promoted by Spotify, so this is just one plug. I do like paying for the premium account because you have no commercials, but you can get your Vecna playlist.
Wow.
And it's a compilation of some of your most listened to songs and also other songs you might enjoy that could bring you back from the Upside Down.
Have we talked to them about possible copyright infringements because that was our idea first? Maybe not necessarily the playlist, but the song.
Yeah, they should have really.
They should have checked with us first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I remember we talked about that on air. What's your Back to Life song?
That's one of my favorite questions. If ever I'm out on a date with somebody or meeting somebody new, not the what do you do for work? What you know this like? So what's your Vecna song? And then they say what
tells you a lot about that person.
I'll excuse myself.
Date's over.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see. And that's a challenge. Like for me, it's Toto's Africa, which is not my favorite song. It's just a song that I've heard in so many different contexts of my life that I can have so many different memories flooding back. So it can bring me back. Because, you know, you have your favorite song at some point. It's like, oh, yeah, this brings up those memories or that memory or this memory. But rarely do you have a song, except I think you, Scott, the Willie Rush song, that's like, yes, this is it. Mm-hmm. And I know it's my favorite. But I challenge everyone to ask somebody, whoever you're texting right now listening to this show, unless you're in the car, do that when you get home, text somebody and ask them what their Vecna song is. Better if you know if they like and are familiar with Stranger Things.
It is.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away. So I was reading some things about Stranger Things and watching some videos because now we're waiting, 2 years maybe
until season five,
which is going to be so worth it when it's good. But the Duffer Brothers, when they went to Netflix, had to explain the Upside Down because this is a very unique concept for a show. And so they have everything fleshed out for the Upside Down. And there's hints that we see Vecna in the very first episode because they've admitted that they've had Vecna in their mind from the get-go. And there's a shadowy figure where Will is riding his bike home that people thought was a Demogorgon beforehand, but now is a lot more human-like than that plant-like head they have.
Yep.
And they think it's Vecna. you know, the long fingers, and even the telepathy of opening the door in that first episode, because Demogorgons don't have telepathy. So it could have been traced back. Vecna has always been the big baddie, might be harnessing, you know, that black dust and clouds when he first gets to the Upside Down, and that's the Mind Flayer. And a reason why Eleven loses her powers in season three, because that piece of the Mind Flayer got into her and poisoned her, which is what Vecna was going for, to kind of take her out of the game. So I cannot wait for season five. What do you guys have for hypotheses of what we're going to experience? I mean, for that ending, too, was awesome, for Hawkins to finally have the shoe drop. You know, in these movies where you have the heroes, we're talking like It, where these kids are saving stuff, or Goonies, where they're going through these crazy obstacles and experiences. Now the whole city's got that. The cracks in the ground of, you know, hell basically opening underneath Hawkins. So we finally get to see that stage of, oh, now the rest of the community actually gets to see the hell that these kids have had to deal with for a while.
But the interesting part is that they're not going to put two and two together. They are going to see these as, you know, this is a geological event. This is, you know, some sort of natural, you know, volcanic kind of thing going on. And I think what we're going to see in season five is we're going to see a little bit of the challenge of getting the community, the scientific community included, you know, on board with what is really going on. And we saw that even with the military action that they took against, you know, Dr. Brenner and everything else. It's like they were like, nope, we're going to, you know, we're going to take over because you've got this all wrong. And in fact, you know, Brenner and the rest of them had it right. You can argue with their approach and how they were handling it. But it's like, yeah, so I think we're going to see a lot of that. I think, and again, I talked about it in the last segment, I really hope we will see some closure, some positive movement for Will. I hope we'll see some additional, you know, relationship building between Mike and Elle. I really hope that Max and Lucas end up happy again. You know, I just, you know, and Nancy and Harrington, maybe they figure that out. I mean, there's a lot of great things that could come of it. And my guess is that we'll get about 20% of that. And the rest is just going to be a gut punch and we're going to be heartbroken. But it was phenomenal.
You're a lot more optimistic than I am. I have a feeling that Max isn't going to be herself, that maybe Vecna will be somehow living through her in this real world as that in between from the Upside Down. And I wonder if Elle's going to have to make a choice to kill her. I hope that's not the case, because Max has been through, oh my gosh, just the worst since she showed up at Hawkins. But I also think that the series might end with Elle. She's closed this gate a few times, and it hasn't worked. Vecna is still finding his way through to wipe out humanity. I wonder if the series ends with a final goodbye between Elle and Mike, and Elle going into the Upside Down to close it permanently from there.
Or, I mean, that could happen. I guess I shouldn't say or. Maybe I should say and. I just had this thought. What if Will's connection to Vecna becomes Vecna's other vessel? So instead of it being Max, that becomes a tragic storyline for Will. Mm-hmm. And Vecna is able to play on the elements of Will not being recognized and seen of who he is and his unrequited love for Mike or whatever you want to call it. I could see that getting played into the storyline significantly as well, which would be, I mean, could you imagine them having to face off against Will? If Will, you know, it's sort of that whole turns to the dark side kind of thing.
I was just going to ask that. Like, did he get turned to the dark side?
I don't know. I mean,
well, what if it turns the whole group against each other?
It
you
could.
Have
yeah.
Max
he split
and
them.
Will serving as, you know, Vecna's human minions.
Yep.
There are thoughts that Eddie's going to come back as a vampire because there's all these rules about the Upside Down. If you die there, you're not really dead here. I don't know really about that. I think he was a phenomenal character for a season.
Yeah.
And as much as we'd love to have him come back, I think that's unfair to his sacrifice.
But I think I understand the rule that you're talking about. But if you think about it, they were killed in the Upside Down while they were being possessed and still existed in the real world. Eddie left the real world and entered the Upside Down of his own accord. So there wasn't another body for him that was in the real world that he, you know, that was there that was killed through. So I don't see him coming back, but I could be wrong.
I love that was where my sobbing started when I didn't run away, right? No. Like, he didn't run away. He fought. Oh, that was awesome to save his friends. And the only people who believed him.
And for Dustin to be able to have that conversation with his uncle at the end. Mm. And, you know, you talked about he'd never get closure. No, he was never going to get closure, but he did for his uncle. And Dustin knows the truth, and his uncle knows the truth. And I thought that was a great, touching opportunity for Dustin to really give that man the closure that he needed. And Eddie deserved. He was just never going to get from the rest of the community.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, this season, I know we're not really rating it as a Nerd Show stamp of approval, but
I think we
might as well just give it a Nerd Show stamp.
Absolutely give it. Yeah.
Two thumbs up for me.
Nerd Show stamp of approval.
This is almost as good. Almost as good for me as season one. Season one is a 10. This is a 9.5.
This is almost off the charts for how good it was. We might take a break, but what do you say we order up some pizza before we tackle the rest of the show? Mike, you want to give a line? You guys hungry? We'll probably do that when we come back.
Maybe we'll do that in the next segment.
Stay tuned. We're going to talk Thor, Love and Thunder, and more nerdy stuff here on The Nerd Show.
Surf Shop, Surfer Boy Pizza, this is Argyle speaking. We make everything fresh here at Surfer Boy except for our pineapple, which comes from a can. But I still highly recommend slapping some juicy pineapple on your pie. Oh, fruit on your pizza's gnarly, you say. Well, I say try before you deny. Hello?
I like pineapple on my pizza. I really do.
I do, too. I used to work at Pizza Hut, and one of my favorite pizzas was barbecue sauce, some ham. Pineapple, get a little Hawaiian pizza there.
Okay.
And I like the Right Coast version, which is pineapple. Then you've got the barbecue sauce. You've got the pulled pork. And then you've got cream cheese on it. That's called a tropical storm. That's my favorite.
Yeah. See, for me, it's sausage, pineapple, and jalapenos.
Ooh, get some sweet.
Get some sweet and some savory, a little spicy in there. It's the way to go.
But you have something like that at Right Coast.
I do.
That is,
I have. Oh, cool. All right.
Sponsor of the Nerds.
Yeah. Well,
show.
We got our pizza order in. Well, we tried. Argyle was not gonna. We had a connection issue there. We were trying.
Come on, Argyle.
All right. But that's right.
Gosh. So there's been a lot dropping this summer. It's been a busy summer for nerds. You know, did you guys talk Ms. Marvel last week? I wasn't here, but that's okay.
We did not.
Get to that eventually.
Yeah. I can tell you what happened with Ms. Marvel.
I'd rather watch it on my own, but...
Oh, you don't need to watch it on your own.
I still will, because I'm like three episodes in, so I've got to commit. But Thor, Love and Thunder. Scott and I went and saw that, and I know Micah just got caught up. And in our next segment, we'll talk a bit about Phase 5 and 6, which all just dropped at San Diego Comic-Con. So I think for the next several weeks, we have a lot to dig into. Did you see the Lord of the Rings trailer?
Yes.
Holy moly, am I excited about that, too. September 2nd, that comes out. But
I wonder if the radio station would sponsor me. I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con next year, so maybe I could work that into our budget.
I hope we got to make that happen.
Yeah.
And fit the suitcase.
If you guys can see the look on Micah's place,
he's like, we have a budget?
Budget? What are you talking about? I'm completely kidding. But, well, I'm not kidding about going to San Diego Comic Con, but.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go.
So much is going on. But first, let's recap Thor, Love, and Thunder. That was different. That was
something.
Taika Waititi is pushing the limits as far as the superhero stuff goes. But overall, it was entertaining. It was fun. Some bits got overplayed, like the goats, which, it goes back to the comics where Thor is given some goats. And then, of course, they adapted it to that viral video of the goat just screaming. So, you know, that was enough to make me chuckle every time it happened, but also immediately followed by an eye roll.
Yeah.
Christian Bale played a phenomenal villain. Such a good villain.
I think his acting was really good.
The villain itself was kind of what a story. Being introduced to all these gods, every god that's existed in, you know, just all the lore that we've had was pretty neat, but it opened up the multiverse significantly.
It did.
Christian Bale felt out of place to me, and it's not an insult to Christian Bale. I think it was more like he was really good. He was more like it should be a more dramatic movie, and this was just a very fun, ridiculous movie. And I think he was kind of miscast because he was so good in it, so dramatic in it, and it just didn't feel right.
You know, they kind of made that introduction too when he killed his own god early on. Was just like, it's kind of silly, you know, all these gods. You know, it's this Thor who is kind of a goofball and didn't take it seriously in the first Thor movie, and then got significantly better, you know, throughout his character development. But I think they opened up a lot, you know, especially with Zeus. That was odd. Just odd. I didn't really care for that element very much. I was hoping for some epic god fight. But yeah, that was...
That's what the post-credit scene is supposed to set up.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And boy, that actor playing Hercules, who we see in Ted Lasso, is... I can't wait. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so good. Yeah. But we'll get to there later. Interesting story. I like how they reintroduced Jane Foster as, you know, she was the little Lady Thor.
She doesn't have a lot of muscles, though.
That's right. You don't need no muscles. She bulked up, though. She looked fit. I wouldn't want to fight her or anyone there. They could all take me down. But one thing that kind of irritated me was just that whole, like, love talk between Thor and Mjolnir. That was just a little odd.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, I'd rather have Stormbreaker because that's a really cool...
It is. He summoned the Bifrost with Stormbreaker, so that's kind of cool.
Well, he just has this weird, I don't know, this weird love for Mjolnir, and I don't know who like wrote that into the story. I don't know if that's like a comics thing or if that was a Taika Waititi thing, but you're right, it was really weird.
Especially when it was flickering out at a certain point when they're on the Bifrost. Like, this is kind of odd. But that was the only thing. Well, not the only thing, but it was a little strange. Korg is fantastic. I love the whole narration from the beginning. Yeah. And Matt Damon.
That was my favorite part of the whole movie, was them coming back and doing the whole thing. And it was just, it was great. It was fantastic. And then you've got, you know, and Melissa McCarthy is not is not my favorite actress by a long shot. But, oh, my gosh, it was hilarious when she shows up as
Helga,
as Hella.
Hella,
it's
yeah.
not Helga. There's OG there. But right. it was funny. So I thought that was great. You know, the little thing on the phone where you've got, you know, Nick Fury instead of Nick Fury for the, you know, in the. So there were really fun nods that I got into. And, you know, I think for me, and it's my own personal thing, and so it's not like anything about the movie itself, but I just struggled because of the whole cancer backstory. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about it, seeing it, and having, you know, lost my wife to cancer and seeing her go through the struggles that she did. And, you know, from a thematic and from a cinematic perspective, they did a great job. I mean, they really represented that. And but that was just emotionally too difficult for me to watch. And there was... I think two points in there where I literally just had to look at the ceiling because I saw the scene and I couldn't handle that. So that's probably part of the reason why I wasn't a big fan of the movie. But in addition to that, I just thought it was like they went and did Ragnarok and they went, okay, that went really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly how I feel.
Let's go and smoke a bunch of weed and let's do that. And we'll take it to 11. And I just didn't think they needed to do some of that stuff. And it got over the top campy. And I got lost in the goofiness of the story where the narrative kind of got lost and set aside.
Well, I think Deadpool 2 kind of fell into that trap, too.
They did.
Where they realized what they did with Deadpool was so great. So they decided to jam-pack it full of jokes. And that ruined so much of what the movie could have been. And it was like that with this movie. So much potential was just kind of thrown out the window because they screwed around way too much.
But that was like the beginning and the meat of that was cheesy. Like with the Guardians, that was – Yeah. All that the self-promotion and all before the fights and the battles and ruining a temple and stuff, and then them just not really caring. It's like, okay, that's a bit much. But by the end, you know, with taking on Gore and losing Jane, or Lady Thor, we'll call her Jane Foster, I love the ending, you know. Love. I like that he took in and promised Gore that he would take care of his daughter who came back from the center of the universe or whatever that was all about. What was it? It wasn't infinity. It was
eternity.
Eternity.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, did he quit being a god? Is he sending her to school? And then they're just getting ready for a battle. I thought that was pretty entertaining and funny.
And I think that was the level that they could have done a great job at and done the whole movie in that kind of level of, you know, humor mixed in with a good story that was a little endearing, and they would have been great with it. I mean, but just the over-campiness. I mean, the fact that you've got, you know, Valkyrie, you know, hawking Old Spice. Really? Mm-hmm. I understand they were really playing off of the, you know, we've turned this into a tourist trap and everything else, but I just felt like, you know, you had a great thing with Ragnarok. And then you went way too far to try and recreate and recapture that lightning in a bottle. And had they stuck with a similar approach with this one, I think it would have been significantly better. And the story would have been one that I would have enjoyed. I just was like, I think vacillating between the emotional state of the dumb campiness side and then the cancer side for me was just too much to bear.
Well, it took away from the love. Like, Thor was coming around for his love for Jane and him wanting to be a different person, having grown.
Yeah.
And you lost that with a lot of that, just, again, campiness.
And all we get is this tiny little moment where he whispers to Mjolnir and says, you know, protect her and keep her safe. They should have played that up big time, and they didn't. That got lost in the noise.
Absolutely.
Music was great, though.
Was really good.
Well, we'll talk more Marvel and all that's dropped this past week at Comic-Con after this break. Stay tuned for more Nerd Show. Welcome back to the Nerd Show.
My gosh, we need a camera in studio every once in a while. I wish you guys could have seen that. We got Micah behind the glass, and I'm like...
Air guitar.
He's air guitaring it like I've not seen many people do. I'm like, okay, either Micah can really play...
No, Micah cannot play.
But Micah would have fooled me, because I would have thought that you could have played based on that. And it was amazing.
That's like you with the Rush and the drums, so Scott.
Yeah, that's true.
You're air drumming?
Yeah. But that only really works well to when you do that in karaoke to YYZ.
That's fair. Well, we broke away. Did we get Thor: Love and Thunder, a Nerd Show stamp of approval?
I mean, I enjoyed it at the theater. I tend to, a lot of times, if I like something, I like it too much when I first see it. And then when I go back and watch it, I kind of go, meh. So I'll probably end up going meh and giving it a not so much a stamp of approval.
I enjoyed it. I think I'll enjoy it more the second time because I know how campy it was. And going into it saying, okay, it's a little more silly than it was serious, but it's not going to be my top Thor movie I'm going to turn to watch.
Yeah, I tend to think of things, you know, am I going to buy that on Blu-ray or am I going to buy it on streaming or something like that? And I'm not.
Ragnarok, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I have watched Ragnarok probably a dozen times, and I love it, and I'll watch it again. I wouldn't watch Love and Thunder again.
Stamp of approval.
No! Just been revoked.
Well, we didn't give it, but it did get revoked, huh?
It did.
Well, there you have it. It's one of our first.
It is.
It won't be our last.
No, I doubt it.
Well, Marvel just dropped a whole lot of new information that's coming over the next, gosh, 3 to 3.5 years for their phases 5 and 6.
So before we jump into that, I was going to ask, did you see and I'm forgetting the first guy's, the director, Gunn.
James Gunn.
James Gunn I was a little bit bummed because they're not releasing the Guardians 3 trailer that they showed at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. And Gunn came out today and took ownership of it and said, you know, the visual effects aren't where I want them to be. So I don't want people critiquing it. I don't want them putting it up. So
I'm not bummed at all. I think that's a good thing.
No,
a lot of times with Black Panther, they only had 6 weeks to work on the visual effects. That's why a lot of it's kind of
I loved Black Panther, and I thought it was a phenomenal film. And so whatever time they spent was really well done. Mm-hmm. I was kind of bummed about that today, where it was like, you know, people have talked about it. They've talked about the elements that we're seeing, and we can't see it yet. So I understand why he's doing it. I'm not critiquing him, but it was a bummer as a fan because, you know, you've got all these people that got to go to Hall H and they got to see it and they're talking about things. And I'm like, you know, I would love to see, you know, Gamora as the head of the Ravagers. And I'd love to see, you know, Star-Lord trying to figure out what's going to happen because Gamora doesn't remember him and he's got this element in. And so I think for me, I'm just kind of bummed about that. And hopefully we'll see something at some point in time. I know we will, but it was like, wow, that would have been cool. Oh, we didn't get to see it. And so,
so much drops during that. It's hard to get lost. Like, I remember waking up on Saturday, I'm like, oh, the new Lord of the Rings trailer dropped. Holy cow. Wait, we have Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You know, and there's so much happening. I'm kind of grateful for this. It gives us some excitement for us to review.
That's fair.
But I like the standards. He's a great director, and I've always enjoyed the Guardians all around. And I know this will be their last hurrah. But we'll see. Is that scheduled to come out? Oh, yes. May 5th of 23. So here we have Phase 5.
Yep.
11-11 of 22, we get Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Incredible. This is still part of Phase 4, though.
Yeah. And I think the Ant-Man and the Wasp in the Quantum Realm, the Quantum Mania, I believe is the end of Phase 4, correct?
This says the start of Phase 5.
Oh, it's the start of Phase 5.
Yes. Which kind of makes sense for the multiverse, but
yeah, I guess that's
can you
true.
Do the multiverse and the quantum realm? I think we're going to have a lot of just probably what just happened moments.
Yeah.
But hey, here we are. 5/5/23, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. 7/28/23, we have The Marvels. And I didn't finish Ms. Marvel, but is she going to be a character in The Marvels? Captain Marvel, probably Photon, and then...
Could be,
Ms. Marvel, we'll see. 11/3/23, Blade. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We have an untitled film in February of 24. 5/3/24, Captain America, New World Order.
That'll be awesome.
Does that mean
Sam? That'll be Sam. Yeah. Sam will be Captain America. I mean, he is. We saw it in the Falcon and Winter Soldier, and he is now Captain America. So I love the fact that he is getting a feature film with him as the lead as Captain America.
Yeah.
Love it.
7/26/24, the Thunderbolts. Were they the ones in Ms. Marvel? I haven't finished it, but somebody made a reference to Ms. Marvel.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I did so much skipping through Ms. Marvel. I skipped like probably 65%.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to just...
Well, we'll see where that goes.
Learn on our own, because that's kind of shocking.
That's how I felt about Ms. Marvel. I skipped all the teen and family drama stuff.
Yeah, I wish I could skip that in my life. Doesn't make sense. Why would I have teen drama now?
Yeah.
11/8/24. This kicks off Phase 6. We have Fantastic Four. Although I did see that John Krasinski's not likely to play Mr. Fantastic, even though he played that role in Doctor Strange.
Well, and I think from the Multiverse of Madness, it let you know that you could have different characters playing those different elements. So I could see it. I hope he does.
And with Loki,
I
thought it was great. A bunch of different Lokis, too.
Yeah, I thought it was great to see him there. And with the beard, he looked like Reed Richards. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great to see some of that stuff. Although,
2/14/25, we have another untitled Marvel film. 5/2/25, we have Avengers, the Kang Dynasty. We met Kang in the finale episode of Loki Season 1, and that's coming out next summer of 23, which is a little long. It's about an hour or a year and a half after Loki Season 1 came out, but I really enjoyed Loki. So we get the first of two Avengers movies, so similar to Infinity War and Endgame. We'll have a six-month break because on November 7th of 25, we have Avengers Secret Wars.
The Secret Wars,
and I did see that Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and Patrick Stewart will be in that.
Interesting.
There's a lot of good stuff coming our way.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't know if I have a character that I'm really excited to watch and see develop into an Avenger. We had Iron Man. We had Thor. And I love their banter, too, when they first got introduced to that world, you know, in the Avengers and just the snarkiness and then, you know, all their development throughout the course of the first four phases. Right now, I'm not too excited for who's going to take up the helm. Is Sam going to be the leader as the new Captain America? Is Spider-Man going to come back and lead? Is he finally? And I think they do because he's had so much teen angst. We saw that in the second Spider-Man Far From Home and then No Way Home. He's too reactionary. He's not a leader. He is way too reactionary and doesn't think through solutions. Kind of like Tony Stark, but just I think a little less experienced. So who's going to take up that mantle?
Did you mention you did. You talked about Secret Wars where we're going to get Fury and
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury and then and Colby Smulders will be back as Agent Hill and we'll get the Skrulls. And so I'm wondering if we'll get Ben Mendelsohn back in some capacity.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be interesting.
There's a lot. I'm excited for all of it. I really am. And I think these miniseries, these TV series have helped a lot. Ms. Marvel is probably my least favorite of the ones that have come out because I have yet to finish it. Yeah. But I think they do need a little more character development for me to get invested in this new era of Avengers.
Well, and I'm interested, too, because they announced a new Daredevil series that Disney's doing.
Yeah, that is a movie
coming. And Charlie Cox is going to be Daredevil, which he was phenomenal in the original series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I've probably watched that series two or three times because it's so good. And then you've got Vincent D'Onofrio that's going to be back as Kingpin, so that'll be good.
But are those movie qualities? Are those going to be full movie? I know there is. They're going to have a Daredevil movie. But to me, that was an incredible series, and I'd like to see him continue on more. And then do you bring in the Punisher? Do you bring in all these other characters that were featured on Netflix before this acquisition
Maybe.
Between Marvel and Disney?
You could. I don't know. We literally ran out of time, and we probably could do another half hour talking about all the things that are coming, and we didn't even touch on some of the other things that are going on right now. So
we got a lot to cover before more things come out. But thanks for tuning into the Nerd Show. We have some bonus content coming immediately after this. So if you're on the radio, just find us on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, or visit 1310kfka.com to get some bonus content. But for now, Nerdians, you stay nerdy.
Welcome to the bonus content section, or the after credit scenes, or whatever we're calling this on our online versions of the show. But you've got me, you got Nick, you got Micah, and we're adding a little bit of extra, some spicy extras after all of our stuff on the Nerd Show tonight. So lots of things going on. Nick, one of the cool things that happened to us that you weren't here that I think I alluded to a little bit, but would love to hear you talk about a little bit more, was your interaction with Mr. Billy Boyd.
You know, the last few years, when I've been looking at things in a different lens, just be more happy, content, and enjoying life, is these bucket list items I didn't know that I had. And when we were at FanX down in Denver, got to experience Anthony Daniels, which was okay. Not the most thrilling. Yep. He's an entertainer. He's very, you know. But Billy Boyd, who played Pippin, of course, in The Lord of the Rings. And I have a Lord of the Rings tattoo on my right ankle of the
it
one ring.
It comes in pints.
Oh, my gosh. That was my favorite. So he comes out. He's got a thick Scottish accent, you know. And just love. We'd all try to recreate it, but we'd sound like fools. He would say, hey, how you doing, Denver? And it's like, what's Denver famous for? And it's, what do you think, 800 people in that room?
Yeah, easily.
At least, and maybe 1,000.
Everybody said beer.
Denver's known for beer and this stuff.
What beer?
You know, it got a little quiet. I'm sitting near a microphone. We strategically placed ourselves so we could get there quickly to ask a question from the mics, from the audience. And it gets a little quiet, and he's talking about beer, and I yell.
Well, before that, though, he had said, well, which kind of beer? And then someone up front had said, well, Coors, because, of course, everybody knows that, you know, Coors is made in Colorado, and that was a big deal. So that made sense. And then you said,
I yell, it comes in pints. And that's the line from The Lord of the Rings, where the hobbits are at, they made it to Bree, and they're trying to meet with
Strider.
And Merry comes back with a pint, and they're all just drinking these small, like 8 ounce glasses, you know. And Pippin goes, what's that? He's like, this, my friend, is a pint. Pippin goes, it comes in pints. I'm getting one. And so I yell, it comes in pints. And Billy Boyd goes, it comes in pints? I'm getting one.
He did.
Oh, and, my gosh.
And the look on his face when he got just this super cheesy, amazing Pippin grin was phenomenal. And then I look at you, and you've got the same grin on your face at the same time. And it was like, it was a great prompt and response that happened. But it was cool. So.
I was so proud of myself for being able to shout and be heard.
And then...
Oh, gosh. So then they open it up for the questions, and I go up, and I was the first in line. And I'm glad we had gotten there earlier. Yep. We had our press badges. We had early access to find our seats. I didn't know what to ask. And believe it or not, I was nervous. I was nervous to ask a question. You know, put us on the radio, and I'm fine. But I don't want to stutter, and I want to stammer the microphone. I mean, it's loud. I don't know. So get up, and I get asked, well, what's your question? And I go, first of all, and we'll post this video online once we get it all uploaded and such so y'all can see it. I said, I got to let you know, I have a cat named Pippin. It's named after the character, and he totally lives up to the namesake. So that was a recurring joke throughout the entire
And he talked about, you know, kicking skeletons down the well.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was all the good things with Pippin, and that's my Pip. Yep. But I asked him, I said, you know, Billy, we went way back. I think I called him by his first name. You know, you're an accomplished actor, but you're also an accomplished musician. He's got three albums with the band that he has. Said, what was it like to have one of the most powerful musical moments from The Lord of the Rings? You know, and he sings. If Micah might be able to pull that up, I'll give him a little head start this time on either YouTube or Spotify. But he sings for Denethor after Denethor sent Faramir out to recapture Osgiliath. And it was a suicide mission, really, with all the orcs already stationed in the city and just having a clear shot of this raid on them. Gandalf ends up coming to help save them, but Faramir didn't do too well. But Pippin knows what's going to happen, and so he sings. And we'll play that at the end. But, you know, Billy said, I said, how did that come to be? Was it something that you brought to the table? Was it something that they knew you were a performer and a singer and wanted to work that in? He says, no, after a day of filming, they were singing karaoke at a bar. And so
and they were doing who? Do you remember who he said that they were doing? Tom Jones.
There we go.
He was singing Tom Jones at karaoke.
And so he was singing a little bit, but there was a writer in the corner and he heard Billy sing. So he goes back and says, we need to find a way to get him to sing somehow during this movie. Well, Howard Shore, who did the score for The Lord of the Rings, wasn't able to write anything. So they asked Billy if he could write something, and he had 2 days to do it.
Well, and wasn't it like originally they told him it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks, and then the next morning they come back, oh, yeah, we still want you to do that, but we need it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And so he wrote that song. So we're all just, I love it. The answer went 5 minutes, but he sang.
He sang.
For all of us, and this is what he sang.
Home is behind the world ahead. And there are many paths to tread through shadow to the edge of night until the stars are all alight. Mist and shadow, cloud and shade, all shall fade, all shall fade.
And then the crowd went wild.
Nuts.
It was so much fun. And that was such a cool experience.
And I almost felt a little bit bad for the lady after you because, you know, and Billy's bouncing from one side of the audience to the other. And so, you know, we get done with that and, you know, we go to this round of applause and Nick gets to kind of walk back to his seat. And he's just got the biggest grin on his face because it's like one of those moments in life you will never forget. So he goes to the other side and Billy's great about going off on a tangent, but then bringing it all back in. That person asks a question. Then he comes back to our side again. And I think the lady said two things that really stood out. One, or no, it was two different ladies. But the very next person in line said, well, I was going to ask you to sing that song, but you've already done it, so I don't. And then he's like, well, do you have another question?
Yeah.
So she came up with one. And then a couple ladies later also said she had a cat named Pippin. And then you guys got accused of having the same cat. And how did you know it wasn't the same cat? So it was one of the coolest in-person experiences I've ever seen with an actor that – was so absolutely set on engaging with their audience in a way that made them feel special.
He was, I want to follow him everywhere now. Yeah. He was so cool, so engaging, so genuine and authentic, and just fun. And before I go, because I have to duck out a little early, he was taught one of the questions that was asked was really neat, because they filmed The Lord of the Rings in three or in one big session,
yep,
which is really rare. And I know that Peter Jackson had to pull some strings to get that to happen with New Line Cinema to make sure they could put all that money up front. But they're filming scenes, you know, for example, the first like couple scenes they filmed was in the Shire, where everyone's greeting each other, the party for Bilbo. But then also the next scene they're filming is the goodbyes at the end of the series. And these people had not worked with each other for very long. They have 18 months of filming, and that was the first chunk that they were doing. So somebody asked him how he got into character. And Pippin, what I love about Lord of the Rings is every character has massive transformations on who they were from the beginning to where they were at the end. And this is where I gained a lot more respect for Billy and all those actors was he – and at the house that he had. We can talk about other things down the road, some of the stories about on set. They were so much fun. You know, he'd look up at what they were filming that day, and he mapped out what Pippin's trajectory was going to be. You know, okay, we're filming this scene. You know, what are the major moments, the defining moments for Pippin? This is him when he gets stuck with in the cornfield after he runs into Frodo and Sam. This is him after he encounters the Black Rider. This is him after he knocks down the skeleton and Gandalf ends up dying. This is him as his character changes throughout the course of the movie. I just thought that was so neat that he wasn't being led that by the director. He was making that up on his own of where Pippin fell in that line. So to hear that story, to see how he interacted with the other hobbits and the stories that he had with them was just such a cool experience. I mean, like you said, Scott, I'm going to take that moment to my grave. Was so, so cool. And challenge everyone, if you ever are able to ask a celebrity a question, ask it in layers to where they'll give so much more than what you asked, because he sang for us because of – oh, yeah. It was so fun. Gentlemen, I've got to run, but you know, this is fun. I like this little bonus content. It's nice to be included, but you guys talk about things I haven't seen yet.
So. We will talk about some stuff that you haven't seen before. But we appreciate you blessing us with your presence for even that little bit in our bonus content section. So,
well, I appreciate it. I got to get to an appointment, but if you hear the door close, try not to be too loud.
Hey, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, exit stage right for the... You know, the CEO of the Greeley Philharmonic and trivia master for 477 Distilling, Nick Kenny, everybody.
Oh,
my gosh. It's like,
Okay. What was that boo I just
heard? Yeah, just don't let the door hit you. All right, cool.
Now to talk about him behind his back.
Yes.
You know that Nick Kenny.
That Nick Kenny, man. I don't know about that guy.
Doesn't watch Westworld.
I swear. Oh. So...
Dude.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, man. And here I was doubting them.
I was too.
In season four, I'm going, wow, season four is slow. Oh. I'm not liking it.
And we've talked about that multiple times, about it's just kind of, it feels like that they're all over the place and they're doing all these weird things. We don't quite get it. And
season three was not that great either.
Yeah, season three went a very, you know, kind of a dystopian kind of future sort of side of it that we were like, okay, but oh my gosh.
Did they, these last two episodes, especially the last 10 minutes of episode, I think it was four, and this whole part of episode five, just like mind.
That I.
Like about, in my mind, about as good as season one.
Oh, I agree.
And season one was great. Season one's very close to.
Yeah.
Season one is in the nines. For
me. It was excellent. And I was like. You know, and from early on in that, you're just like looking at, you know, Charlotte Hale and her character, and you're like, this is a psychotic, crazy woman.
And we're talking about Charlotte Hale in quotations because Hale's dead.
Yeah, Charlotte
she's
Hale's
been
dead, but
for decades.
she is the host version of Charlotte Hale.
Yeah, is she now? She's like morphed Dolores.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of is – I believe that she's sort of like a culmination of a little bit of Dolores, a little bit of Maeve, and they are – you know, it's like this other persona that they created in order to be able to do this stuff. But oh, my goodness. And I have been waiting for something to come about with Dolores' character, who is now being called Christine, And we saw Teddy show up, at, you know, early on in the season, and you're like, wow, where are they going to go with this and some of the other elements? And, you know, and they, of course, in the towards the end of the last episode, we get to figure out, oh, this is like decades or at least 15 years beyond where we thought it was, because we run into, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the character's name, but his daughter that is now looking for her father. The human that Maeve is working with.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. And Aaron Paul's character.
Yeah. And so you figure out that C, the, you know, kind of the rebel that's a part of this group, is his daughter, is Frankie. And you're like, oh my gosh, we just did a 10 or a 15 year time jump in that regard, which I
kind of suspected that for some reason.
Interesting.
Like, I didn't really see it coming. Tough character. I'm like,
Yeah.
You knew they would tie something in like that. She can't, like, he's setting his daughter up to be really cool. Like, yeah. She's, you're not going to just throw her away.
Well, and I was freaking out because then they do the whole face split thing with her and they infect him with the flies. And then mm-hmm. it's like, oh, wait, your iteration, you know, 237 or whatever else. And you're just like, wait, what? And then this episode, you're like, oh, Dolores is starting to figure it out. And I think what we're running into is this whole combination of, you know, this perfect world. And I love the fact that they had the voiceover at the beginning that Ed Harris is doing. And he's like creating this narrative about, you know, we created the perfect world and all these things. And you hear it again at the very end of the episode, but it has a much, much, much different tone. When he goes to face his, I think it's essentially the human version of the Man in Black.
Yeah,
or
because,
William.
Well, they froze him.
Yeah.
He's still alive,
yeah.
So you have the human Man in Black.
Yep.
He's not responsible for everything, but he's in a way responsible for the downfall.
Oh, yeah.
Partially responsible for the downfall. I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing the exact opposite happen. We're seeing the pendulum.
Yeah.
You know, we saw the humans in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And the humans create
yep.
life. And humans abuse life. Mm-hmm. And then we saw this life take over humans.
Yep.
Now we're seeing suddenly this life that was abusing humans, that just took over humans, they are acting like humans.
They are.
Because we created them
in our image.
In our image. And so they are making and they are performing the sins that we in this world, yeah. in Westworld, have performed. And they're realizing that they're not perfect.
Well, and yeah. And I, you know, when, you know, and at the beginning of the episode, when the host, Charlotte Hale, is like, and I'm bored.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it was really kind of demented to see, you know, the guy playing the piano and his fingers are all completely bloodied and everything else, because it's like he's literally just been playing nonstop because she can force him to do that in this little world that they've created. And, you know, and the Man in Black's like, well, there are no rules, but you have to respect, you know, kind of the situation, which is where they get into some of that stuff. But yeah, and then I was like, when Christine's character, who is really Dolores, is starting the new narrative, and she starts to talk about her Carol, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Dolores Abernathy. She's creating Dolores Abernathy again, and she gets right to that moment, and he's like, well, what's this character's name? And then she paused, and, you know, there was a deviation because Teddy calls her, and he, like, is trying to get her to see, and then she realizes that, you know, they are keeping her around in order to give background stories to all of these humans that they are now controlling in their little world, you know, in order to kind of do some of their work and their delivery and some of their, and it's just crazy to see that. And all of the lights that clicked on for me in this episode were just phenomenal.
Yeah. This is kind of the biggest redemption I think I have seen. Like, this is one of those. I think Doom Patrol probably did this, because Doom Patrol was going so far downhill for me, and then suddenly, boom, popped right back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doom Patrol was able to do that. Doom Patrol's one that a lot of people aren't going to like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really kind of, it's almost tertiary characters and some other stuff you're dealing with. But I went from being somewhat enthralled with the Westworld season 4, and then last week I was like, okay, this is getting a little bit better, and I like where they're going with this, and I'm okay, now I'm getting the twists and turns. And then, you know, it dropped last night. I watched it, or not last night, but it dropped on Sunday night, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, this is phenomenal. I can't wait to talk about it. So you guys get a whole bunch of bonus content today because Mike and I are just so jazzed about this show.
That was incredible. One thing I have to say about Ramin Djawadi, who does the music.
Yeah.
I love how he takes all these pop songs, all these rock songs, classic rock. I'm not going to get angry about how Chris Cornell is now classic rock.
It's all right.
Anyway, but he's able to take some of these songs and incorporate it into his original score. So you were talking about how the guy's fingers were all bloody.
Yeah.
He's playing this song. This is the song he's playing. He's playing Perfect Day. And it just feels right because...
Well, of course it is, yeah.
It's a perfect day. But not for the humans.
Not for the humans, but for the...
Not for the robots.
Yeah, the hosts are... It's not a perfect day for the... And she's trying to make it. She's like, no, play louder, play faster. We need dancing. And you just... And I love when she said that. That, to me, was like the epitome of where we're at with the hosts right now. And the AI that is, you know, that came out of Westworld is, God is bored.
Yeah.
And I was
like... She called herself God.
She did. Yeah, she's like, because I'm God. I can do whatever I want, and I'm bored. And then she talks about, you know, maybe that's why the gods came down off of Olympus, and they made themselves look like this so that they could, you know, be entertained. And the man in black is like, well, is that why you're here? And, you know, and then she plays off, no, we've got a problem and all these other things. But it's like, wow. And the reason that these hosts are now having these moments and they're going off and they're actually ended up, you know, committing suicide is because they're starting to question their reality and go, this, I think this whole idea of this utopia, this perfect world, just doesn't exist. And no matter how perfect we make it, because these hosts are made in our image, there's an element of curiosity, and we don't do well when there is, when everything's perfect. And we've seen that over and over again. And I've always said that if life was perfect, how do you appreciate a perfect life? Because then it's just boring and normal.
Like the first couple iterations of The Matrix.
Yeah.
You remember in The Matrix,
they tried to make a perfect utopian society. Yeah.
It was a utopia, and it was a complete failure.
Complete failed. Yeah, you have to have
it was
chaos.
Rejected.
Yeah, so
that's what humans need, and humans created something in their image, and those things took us over. It's so crazy how it's being done. I love the way they've turned it around, especially since season 3 wasn't that good. I'm very happy with where we're going in season 4.
I am too. So it's so good, and I just couldn't be happier. So, wow. Great stuff about Westworld.
And hopefully season episode 5 will be even...
Well, episode 6.
This
was episode 5, and then episode 6 is titled Fidelity, which I'm really interested to see how that's going to play out. But,
I'm excited about it.
Well... Hey, thanks for sticking around after the credits in order to hear some additional bonus content, and appreciate all you. And for those of you who are listening maybe in the morning or in the afternoon or the evening or out on the road or as you're waking up, keep yourself nerdy, and we'll talk to you again next week.